From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you so much, Aaron, and welcome in everybody to Life Change Weekend. I've always enjoyed Life Change Weekend when we think about talking to people about their testimonies and things that have happened in their lives. And we've had some great testimonies on just recently, people that were really brought out of some very dangerous times in their life and came to Christ, and others who share about their wonderful evangelism ministries. And it's just a joy, really, to have these weekend editions. So many of you make comments about it, and we want to thank you for your comments through email and letters that you send us. Thank you so very much. And my good friend who's on with us today, Dr. Jerry Dreister. Jerry is a regular with us on Friday programs, as we have the Fridays distributed out amongst several people that work with us here. And today, Jerry is going to talk to us about something that he and I were chatting about here on the air just a few weeks ago concerning habits. So, Jerry, welcome in. Glad you're on the program today.
Thank you, Dino. It's good to be on air and to share with you. I want to talk to our folks today about seven bad habits. The question, do you want your children or grandchildren to respect you when you get older? Well, the obvious answer, of course, is yes. Seven bad habits that we as parents and sometimes grandparents should seek to break. I saw this on social media, and they just listed the seven, but gave no counsel on how to do it. And we as Christians, Dino, and you know this, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and He delights to be our helper. Years ago, I saw the illustration of the word habit. Now, folks, if you would take a whiteboard in your mind, write the word habit out, print it out, H-A-B-I-T. And if you work real, real hard, maybe you can erase the H. But if you do, you still have a bit of it. You work and you work and you work, and you erase the A, you still have the bit is there. It's there. You work and work, and finally you take the B away. What's left? It. It's still there, the habit. But if you notice the two letters, the I stands for ourselves, and that T turns into a cross. And if we realize, if we take our bad habits to the Lord, He will help us. So these seven habits, Lord, help me to break the habit of. And the first one is being overly authoritative. Rules without good relationships lead to rebellion. We've had teenagers in our house, and we found that that would be true. So the question is, are you a disciplinarian or are you a dictator? Ephesians 6:4 says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That word nurture has to do with plants. We get our plants from the greenhouse, where there's the right amount of light, soil, and water. All three of those are done properly, and we get good plants. So our kids, we need to do all we can do to nurture them and do all we can do to bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Someone said, Dino, that to illustrate this, when we need to discipline our kids, build a sandwich. The first is positive, then give the concern, and then put another piece of positive down, and it becomes much more palatable. I remember a few months ago, they celebrated 50 years of ministry at Joy L, and I was asked to speak. And one of the my junior counselors, now probably in her mid-50s, said to me, "Jerry, you were strict with us, but we knew you loved us. So it is that we need to love people, love those kids, but we need to be gracious and gentle.
Yeah, that is so good, Jerry. I remember you back in those days too, by the way, and you had quite a following of young people, and I think all of us should be thankful to you for the tremendous work you did with young people. And you were reaching thousands of young people in various areas of life, and it was a wonderful ministry. Discipline is important, isn't it? I mean, when we think about discipline, when we think about authority, I'm a pastor, and I've been a pastor for many years. I've been in education for many years, and every once in a while you run into somebody that's an authority, and they know they are. And they're very authoritarian, and some people call it narcissism. And after a while, it's tough to be around them. But when there's that loving and gracious discipline, it means a lot. You and I'm sure we think of people like Dr. Paul Griffiths, who was a mentor to you and to me, and what a gentle giant he was. But when he spoke, we all listened. We were really... Yeah. So the first thing is authority. Authority, take us on now. Where else are we going, Jerry?
Well, the next one, Lord, help me to break the habit of not practicing what I preach. I'll read it again. Lord, help me to break the habit of not practicing what I preach. Our kids learn from our actions. More is caught than taught. Paul says in Philippians 4:9, those things which ye have both learned, and that's academic, and received, that's in the heart, and heard and seen, the eyes and the ears are working. Those things you've heard and seen in me, Paul said, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. We often say, don't do as I do, but do as I say. Paul didn't say it that way. He said, you watch me. I'll be the example for you. And the bottom line is, really, kids, regardless of what we say, they are going to watch our actions for sure. Illustration, Dino, and the phone rings and the daddy says, Johnny, if that's for me, I'm not home. Well, what's happening is, of course, that daddy's saying he's giving a lie. He's lying. And his son's picking up on that. Well, a few years passed by, and this young fellow's now a teenager. And daddy says, what time did you get in last night? You know, you were to be in by 11:30. Oh, it was around that time, and it was more 12 o'clock than it was 11:30. He picked those habits up from watching that, so we have to be careful. And the whole idea is, Lord, help me to practice what I preach. And sometimes we do the reverse of that.
Yeah, that's good, Jerry. I think of in my own life as a Christian leader, if you're preaching something, you want to make sure you have some experience in that. Otherwise, be careful what you're saying because it can get you in a lot of trouble. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. We're having a delightful conversation today with my dear friend, Jerry Traister, and we're talking about habits in our life. We want to thank all of you that have been so faithful in sending us notes and letters. Here's one that comes to us from Canada, and it says, use the gift for the pastors in Myanmar. We support 10 pastors in Myanmar. And we do it by love gifts that people send in. And here's somebody all the way from Canada. And in that same letter, please send us 20 copies of the book, The Beginning, which is the story of the book of Acts, gone verse by verse through the entire book of Acts. Here's another one that comes to us as well from Africa, where they said, the book, The Beginning, has been used by a college class I teach, and our students appreciate the verse-by-verse presentation. So we thank the Lord that you are using the books that we have. You can go to our webpage at Dino Boudreau Ministries, go to .com or .org, and you can get those books. And of course, if you're interested in our online school, you can go there and get information at the same address. We thank the Lord for those of you writing in. And again, we're so glad that you're listening in today to our program. So, Jerry, not practicing what I preach sounds like pretty good advice. Be careful when you have authority. Where are we going now? Did you say 7 of these bad habits we're going to look at?
Yes, we're working down the list here. So the prayer is, Lord, help me to break the habit of dismissing their interests, dismissing our children or our grandchildren's interest. We want them to be interested in what we are interested in. We read in the scriptures that train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. we need to be intentional. We need to show our interest in what they are doing. Proverbs 20:11-12 says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing ear, the Lord has made even both of them. So I would encourage all of us with our grandchildren, our children, to discover their ways, their bents. Some kids love music, others it's art, some athletics, and there are some academics. A few weeks ago, I took my granddaughter, 7 years of age, to the grandparents' day at the Cumberland Valley Christian School, and her mother gave me $10 and said, take her to the book fair afterwards. So we did all of that, and she got herself a little book and crawled in the back seat, and I said, now, Micah, I have to do a lot of errands before we go have our meal. Is that all right? Oh, yeah. So I did my errands, and we had our meal. Then we came home, and she said, Happy, I'm up to page 40. That little girl likes to read. She's interested in academics, and we want to say, isn't that great? We want to encourage that. We do not want to dismiss their interest. We want to find out what it is and then jump in there and cultivate that interest for sure.
Yeah, Jerry, I was thinking as you shared that, I wish I could think of the person who said this. It's a true story that, this is not a parable, it's a true story that there was a gentleman who was concerned about his child, and so he realized that whenever he was with his child, he did what he wanted to do, and the child had it like that. So he changed the whole thing. He said, I'm going to give you an hour a day, and on that hour a day, you and I are going to do whatever you want to do. And he said it changed that whole attitude about the young man. And I think what you're saying there is so important. What are the interests that our children really have? What are the things that are important to them? And it makes a difference. It really does. I know when I'm sitting with my children even now and discussing things with them, when I start talking about their stuff, their eyes kind of go alert. And sometimes when I'm talking about my stuff, their eyes roll. So,
or they have a tendency to nod off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the time to quit.
Yes.
Okay, so we have three of them. Authority, not practicing what we preach, dismissing the interests of the children and others. What's number four, Jerry?
Lord, help me to break the habit of breaking promises. Ooh, We preachers are... And I have to speak for myself, but I remember on a number of occasions, I would tell my wife and the girls, we're going to do such and such. Well, something came up at the camp, and we did not get to do it. Someone said, a promise made is a promise kept. If you make a promise, you need to do all you can do to keep it. Ecclesiastes 5:5 says, it's better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. That's heavy, but it's so very, very wise. I remember when we were at the college, Dino, I was there for 3.5 years under your leadership, and you would say oftentimes to the staff, I want to share with you a plan. And it was dealing with perhaps building a building or having a new particular subject or whatever it was. But then you would say, reminding you that this is a plan, not a promise. And in saying that, if we do that with our kids, it speaks of our integrity. We plan to go to your concert tonight, Mary, but there's a number of things that have to be that I have to get done before that, but I will do all I can do to be there. I plan to be there. And if you get there, she will be thrilled. And if you don't get there, she can't say to you, you promised. No, you said it was a plan. Your plan was to be there. Now, that doesn't give us the freedom, of course, to break it either. We need to do all we can do to pour ourselves into our kids, show them our appreciation, and attend their various functions, even though we may not be interested in them. But we're interested in their development, so we need to give our mind to them.
Yeah, you know, Jerry, I think that's so important about promises. You mentioned there at the college, when I came to the college originally, there was a number of faculty and staff that came to me and said, you know, we had a lot of people promise us things that we've never had. When I checked into it, it really wasn't promises. It was really plans that were being made. And that's where I got that idea from. And I think it is a true idea. And I think it's important. One of the things I've always practiced, and I know you've practiced, Jerry, when I come into a situation, the previous administration, I don't speak ill of them. I don't want that around me. I'm sure they've made mistakes. I'm sure they've done good things. It's true with all of us.
That's right.
The one thing is there's a huge difference between a plan and a promise. And when you do that with your children, don't break a promise. And, you know, it's kind of interesting as you say that. When I think back on my parents, they may have broken a promise, but I can't think of one that they ever broke with me.
Wow.
And there weren't a lot of promises given. I mean, we didn't have a lot of money, but I do not remember them ever saying, we're doing this, like it was a promise and not doing it. Maybe there was, but I can't remember one. I think it's quite a testimony to them. So we're down to number four here, the authority, not practicing what I preach, dismissing interests, breaking promises. This is good stuff, Jerry. What's number five?
Number five tells us, Lord, help me to break the habit of avoiding difficult conversations. So what are some of those awkward conversations? Well, death, sex, divorce, terminal illnesses. We want to avoid those subjects. I'm of the persuasion that if we are willing to speak on those subjects, we don't have to go in depth with any of them. But in light of the age of the child, if they ask the question, then we need to give an answer that's the truth, but it may not be all that you could say. And we are nervous about doing that and fearful that we won't say the right thing, but it's better to begin. And the Isaiah 40:29 says, he gives power to the faint. And I think when some kids say, what about this or what about that? Oh dear, we want to faint, we want to disappear. But he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases our strength. If we're willing to discuss death, sex, divorce, terminal illness, it's amazing what will take place. I've heard parents say, I don't take my kids to funerals. Well, I would have to disagree. If Johnny says, I want to go see grandma, grandma's dead, but he wants to go. We see that as Christians as a tremendous tool to teach. Now, if grandma knew the Lord, that makes it much simpler to say, you understand grandma was sick and she moved out of her body. She's with Jesus. And at the same time to say, as a result of that, she moved out, her body is now cold. But if you want to go, we would be delighted for you to go and you can see the body. Remember, grandma's with Jesus, the alive part. I remember one time a little kid said, where's Jesus? And he said, he lives in my heart. And the person said, well, what do you mean? And the little kid opened up his mouth and he pointed his finger to his mouth and he said, he's in there someplace. So it is. Life is in there. But when God sees fit, he removes life. The body stays here. And it's a tremendous tool to teach, for sure. If we'll be willing to speak up and graciously share with him about any of these subjects.
Yes, it's a great little story there about the child saying that. I saw the other day a little child was praying, and they said to God, God, thank you for the baby that came into our house, but what I really wanted was a puppy. They say what's on their heart. Let me ask you this, Jerry, on this topic. And this is maybe a discussion topic, but when we talk about avoiding conversations, as you talked about, would you say it takes a lot of courage to do this? What does it take for a person to address some of these things?
Well, I that's the very word, courage. It does take that because we want to avoid those subjects. We don't want to talk to our kids about sex, divorce, or terminal illness, but they need to know. Now, they don't need to know the depth of it, but they need to know. If they ask a question, then you give them an answer, and give them an answer that's accurate and honest. You may not have to go down deep with them, but if you don't, they'll learn from someone else, and it may not be the gospel what they learn. It may be trash, It may be sordid. It may not be the truth. So I would encourage you to be brave. And that verse, Dina, really, when you think about it, he gives power to the faint. Mm-hmm. And I believe we can interpret that he gives power to us to speak. He lives within us, and he can give us that power to speak up and share with those kids about that particular subject. And we will feel better, and the child will know a bit more about that particular subject. In most cases, they'll go on about their business then.
Yeah, that's good advice. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Padrone chatting with you, with my good friend Jerry Trish around with us today, talking about some habits that we perhaps need to break, some habits that we ought to address. And there are seven of them, and we appreciate Jerry sharing these. I want to thank all of you out there who have been sending in notes and letters to us about various things with our ministry. We appreciate it so very, very much. And I want to say thank you for connecting with us. One of the new things that we're doing now, we're on television called Worldwide Television. And there's a ministry in Tampa, Florida that have given us exclusive use of their studio. They say your ministry is always welcome to use our television studio. We appreciate those people. There's so many people like that, Jerry, that are helping our ministry.
Oh, that's wonderful.
We are delighted. Now, Jerry, we're down to about 3 minutes here, and you got two more. So let's do the next one. We'll say a word about it and then finish it off.
Okay, number six is always solving their problems. Always solving their problems. So the prayer is, Lord, help me to break the habit of always solving their problems. Allow them to think, talk, pray, and in some cases fail. The verse that comes to mind is Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And I added, allow the harvest to take place. You understand, brother, if we do something wrong, somebody has to pay for it. Your child breaks a window and you say, oh, I'll fix it. I'll pay for it. Or you get a call from the school that your child's going to be dismissed and you say, I can solve it. I'll talk to the principal. No, I think there's value in allowing our kids to fail when they do wrong. It's a tremendous lesson.
Yeah, and I think Jerry, as you're talking about that and you're relating it beautifully to parents and raising children, I keep thinking about adult situations. I remember Jesus talking to Peter, and he told Peter three times that he was to feed his sheep there before Jesus ascended. And Peter looked around and saw John. He said, well, what's he going to do? And now this is a Dino Padrone translation, but Jesus basically said, mind your own business. And that's what that point really is. We have less than a minute, Jerry. Give us the last one.
All right. Lord, help me to break the habit of not showing them respect. Low self-esteem. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. They don't feel good about themselves. They think their hair's not the right color. It's straight and it should be curly, or vice versa. They may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer. They don't feel good about their looks, and the list could go on and on. So again, Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But what do? We need to pour in courage. Mm. We need to encourage them. 1 Timothy 4:12, and I'll close with this. Let no man despise your youth, but set an example for the believer in five areas: in speech, in conduct, in love, faith, and in purity. And I would encourage us as parents, as grandparents, to do all we can do to show them that we respect them. We're thrilled with that God has placed them in our lives, and we want to love on them for sure and help their self-esteem.
Thank you, Jerry. This has been a wonderful study today, Seven Habits to Break. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. Thanks for looking in. And also, don't forget Monday through Friday, our Bible study on these stations. Have a blessed day.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padrone Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of Indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.